Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Yes, they will know that we are Christians by our love, by our love. Or will they? Sometimes we just don't get it. In fact, a lot of times we just don't get it. Maybe I'm speaking for myself. I can read something over and over again and think as I walk away, oh, I've grasped that in a devotion book or heard it in a sermon, and as soon as I walk out the door of church, I've already forgotten what it was. Or I don't care about it that much anymore. The reality is, sometimes we just don't get it. And that was the message that God was giving to Peter in the vision that he saw today. As this sheet came down from heaven and there was all these unclean animals on it, and Jesus says, go and eat and feast upon these animals, and Peter interacts and says, well, you know, wait a minute, nothing unclean has ever touched my lips. I'm not going to do that. Poor guy, had never had bacon in his whole life. Can you imagine that? I always said I'd never make a good Jewish person because I love bacon and I love Jesus. It disqualifies me right there. But anyways, he never even had bacon. And so here was all of this food. The first thing I would have went for was the bacon. But there he was. And you know, he's thinking about this message and what God was telling him. And the power of what God was saying to Peter was, listen, I have redeemed the whole world. And it goes all the way back to what we believe when we say the words of John 3:16, that God so loved the whole world that he gave his one and only son to die for it. Whoever believes in him shall not die or perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son to condemn the world, but to save the whole world through him. And so God is saying to Peter, listen, I've redeemed the whole world. I've saved the whole world. My love is for everyone. Don't deny it to anyone. It's not just for your religion, the Jews. See, that was the problem. The Jewish people were stuck in religion. Religion is that focus on man-made things. It's focused on the focus of traditions, the way we've always done it, the focus of being comfortable, this egocentric focus that church is about me and no one else. You know what I'm talking about, right? The idea that if we don't have the candles lit or we don't say the right creed, then we're not really worshiping God. These kind of things that we hear bantered about all the time. And there are some churches that even argue about the color of carpet to put in their sanctuary, and this is true stories in voters' meetings because they think it's all about religion. And Peter was being told by God, it's not about religion, it's about faith. And faith is a way of living, and I have come to give you a new way of life that is love. Because remember what also Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 18. He who does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the one and only Son of God. In other words, if they choose not to believe, Peter, that's on them. But you, be careful. Be considerate. Be mindful that the message of my love is to be proclaimed to every person. To the homosexual, to the lady who had an abortion, to the transgendered person, to the mentally ill. Are you getting uncomfortable? I hope so. Because nothing is to block the message of God's love from being proclaimed. And that is our task. But the church in America today has become a religion. It is truly a religion. It's not a faith and it's not a way of life. Especially look at modern evangelical America. I mean, modern evangelical America has so much religion going on that even our government runs on this premise that we answer to religion. This way of life, rules and regulations that affects everybody, rules and regulations that seek to condemn people for what they've done instead of building them up and helping them to see who Jesus really is in their life so that they'll have the power to change according to Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of salvation to all who believe, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. If we're not carrying the message of love in faith as a way of life as disciples of Christ, then people have the ability not to change. They aren't getting the gospel. They aren't receiving the Holy Spirit. If we hold religion near and dear and all of our traditions and our customs and what we think is makes us comfortable, then we fail as the church in America to truly reach people who are dying and devastated and don't know Jesus, who we call unclean. Think about it. Watch the news. Watch what's going on in our world today. The world is falling apart because Christians have lost their duty. They have failed their call. We have failed at loving the world and embracing them where they are in their sinfulness. We have failed at sitting next to the woman at the well. We have failed at being with the woman who has been caught in adultery, who is going to be stoned, and rescuing her. We have failed at going to those who are less than us, or we think that are less than us, because society says they are, with a message of love and acceptance and radical grace. If you don't believe God's grace is radical, then maybe you should take a look at your own life. Let's bring up a slide here. I love this quote from Richard Rohr. He said, "These are the things that have gotten in the way of the American church." He says, "We worshiped Jesus instead of following him on the same path." Well, wait a minute. What aren't we supposed to worship? Worship is part of religion. Muslim people worship. Buddhist people have a form of worship. Hindus worship. God called us more than to worship him. Worship is a part of following Jesus. We worship so that we are strengthened and forgiven in God's grace through word and sacrament to be his disciples, to be his presence to the world around us. It's taking up our cross and following him as he's called us to do in Matthew 16, and following him into places that are very scary, following him into times that can be very troublesome and worrisome, and following him into those times with the confidence and hope and knowing that we are the presence of Jesus. We made Jesus into a mere religion instead of a journey towards union with God and everything else. We're just saying in that hymn, we pray for unity among people, right? Unity, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. We made Jesus into a mere religion instead of a journey towards union with God and everything else. When we are baptized, the journey begins in our life of sanctification, and the end goal of that journey and the process of that journey is that we become more Christ-like in our lives every day. But instead of asking God, and instead of seeking to be more Christ-like, the church in America today has turned everything into a religion. Shoulds and should nots, do's and don'ts. I love you, I don't love you. That's what's happened in our world today. But as we become more like Jesus, through word and sacrament, fulfilling the baptism that's in our lives by the power of the Spirit, we begin to see that this is a journey where sometimes we may not like people and like what they do, but we love them so that the gospel message may interact in their lives. This shift made us into being a religion of belonging and believing instead of a religion of transformation. Now, we all want to belong and believe, and we do, right? Because in our baptism, we are brought into the family of God. We are made his children. And truthfully, when we look at church as we should rightfully, church is what is called a gathered and sent church. In other words, we do gather together. We gather together on Sundays and other times during the week for worship and praise and study, to be fed and nourished, to have fellowship, to strengthen one another for one purpose. So that we might be sent out, transformed by the Holy Spirit, to be the light of Jesus in a world of darkness around us. To love people who don't know what it's like to be loved. In a recent study, unbelievers were asked the one thing that blocks them into coming to church. Do you know what the answer was? Judgment. Judgment and feeling as they were outcasts. You know what? We're all outcasts because we're sinners. But our Heavenly Father opens his arms without judgment and with love to welcome us into this place every time we come with his overwhelming love, because he sees beyond our sinfulness into our hearts and desperately wants to heal us. Let's look at this next slide. It's an interesting slide. This is a picture of the Church of America today. Now look at that. Can you tell what that is in that picture? That's a bridge, isn't it? It's a bridge. Is it doing its job? No. This is a real picture from Honduras, the capital city in Honduras. And what happened was they built this beautiful bridge. It cost a lot of money. And they were so happy to have a modern-day bridge. And then the floods came. And guess what happened to the river? The river moved. And the bridge is left. And they have no more money, or they don't know what to do. And they sit around and talk about, well, what should we do with the bridge? Because it's there and the river's over there. Guess what happened to God's church and our culture and society today? At one time, that river flew right through God's church. If you look through the time after the Reformation and up until about the 1950s and 60s, you could build a church on every corner and people would come because that's what you did on Sunday morning, right? That's what you did. You were supposed to be in church, so you were in church. Well, since the 1950s and 60s, culture in America has shifted. We had the free love movement and the hippie movement and the marijuana movement and all those things come into our culture and society, and they lost focus on God and the church. You know, the church said, well, we're not going to be part of that. And so as culture and society shifted with like that river onto the other side of the bridge, the church said, we're going to remain firm right here, and if they want to come, they'll come. Guess what happened? People didn't come. The river kept bypassing the church. And that's where we are today. And in a lot of churches, they're fine with that. Let's just stay on the bridge and we'll be happy together. It still supports us. It's a beautiful bridge. We spent all our money on this bridge, so we might as well keep it comfortable for us. And we'll look over there and wave at the people in the water sometime and say, hey, if you ever want to join us, just hop on up. But we don't go down to rescue them. We don't go down to be with them. We don't go down to pull them up, because after all, we're a religion. But this is why the church throughout the world, not just in America, is failing today. Because what we don't realize is that the culture and society has moved past us. And the church is stuck. The church is stuck. And the only way to reach that culture and society is to jump in the water, to love the people, to bring them up on the bridge, to dry them off, and to show them Jesus. But unless we get out of our pews and live a life of transformation, we will always be a religion and never a faith. But God is love. It's all about love. And that's really what it's about. You know, I said sometimes we don't get it. Well, here it is, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's all about love. This all about love message is so crucial that one of the very last things Jesus said right before he went into that garden to pray and before he's arrested was in our gospel lesson for today. Love each other as I have loved you. That is the message of the gospel. And for far too long, theologians and pastors have sat on our high horses in our white towers thinking we know everything, so much so, and teaching our people falsely that we are falsely right and falsely right, that we built up this culture in the church that says, here I am, you come to me. But Jesus says it's all about love. And think about what Jesus did for you and for me in the midst of our sinfulness, in the midst of our separation, in the midst of our dirty filthiness. He says, Isaiah says, all of our sins are like filthy rags to God. What did Jesus do? He could have stayed up on the bridge, but he didn't do that. 1 John says the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus came down to us. He jumped into the river of life head first. He jumped in without any life preservers. He just jumped right in and wrapped his arms around us to love us, to forgive us, to heal us, to restore us, to transform us. And when we fail, and when we sin, and when we mess up, he doesn't say, okay, I'm done with you, does he? No, he wraps his arms around us even tighter and says, I love you, I forgive you, I restore you, I am with you, I will not let you go. That's the kind of God we have. Every time we see baptism, we see the God of love wrapping his arms around a new child and welcoming him into the kingdom eternally. For Paul says, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Every time we look at the cross, we see the love of God, which truly transforms the world, which takes our sinfulness and gives us Christ's perfection so that when God looks on us, he sees us as his perfect children. Every time we celebrate the empty tomb, Christ is risen. We celebrate the very fact that Jesus has entered into the heavenly realms to prepare a place so that we will be with him forever, because he loves us unconditionally, sins and all. No matter our past, no matter our present, no matter our future, he has dived right off of that bridge into the water of this journey in life and has wrapped his arms around us like a life preserver to pull us up into his faith, into his life, and to keep us there with him in the palm of his hand for all eternity. Every time we hear the message of the gospel, God is wrapping his arms of love around us to tell us how much we mean to him. Jesus continues every day to fill us up with his love for one another. That is his intent and powerful purpose. Through word and sacrament, through prayer and worship, through daily devotions and meditations, God fills us up with love for one intent purpose: not to become society, not to accept and ignore the sins of society, for he is the one who is the judge of that, but to love people right where they are, sitting by the well, getting ready to be stoned for adultery, getting ready to commit suicide, depressed, isolated, lonely, hungry, not knowing what they're hungry for, so that we might be the nourishment of Christ Jesus as his hands, his mouth, and his feet to the world around us. In the name of Jesus, amen.